My name is Laura Carter. I'm running for a state representative in the 3rd District, position 1.
Tell me why you got into the race this year.
Well, because we need somebody that would stand up for bringing back common sense. There's too much nonsense going on in our government, especially our state government, and we need to have some people to bring back common sense in our system, common sense in our education system, public safety, health care, and our economy.
So give me some examples, one or two examples of what you consider to be the nonsense that you want to replace.
Well, okay, there's this talk about defunding the police. That's nonsense. We need to support our local police. There's also this talk about fluoridating our water. Now, if you want your water fluoridated, there are chemicals that you can put into your drinking water to fluoridate your water, but don't force it on the rest of us. And when it comes to education, the left wants to teach sex ed from kindergarten, you know, starting with kindergarten, and they don't need to be taught at that early age. And they also, there's this push, I don't think it's there yet, but there's this push by League of Women Voters to teach children that they are whatever gender that they feel like they are, when in fact, he has XY genomes, she has XX genomes. It's that simple. Why make it complicated? I think it should be illegal for a child to undergo a sex change operation, because how many children know what they want to be when they grow up? And what happens if a boy at age 8 goes through a sex change operation to be a girl, and then he, or whatever you call it, reaches maybe age 14, and that's when the male hormones supposed to be kicking in, and whatever male hormones are left makes him want to be a boy, but now his body's been mutilated. So it seems to me that if they really want to undergo a sex change operation, they should wait until they're at least 16, maybe 18. Some of my friends disagree with me. They say it should be 21.
Okay. Let me ask you, I'll ask you a few of the issues that I've been asking you, the other candidates that are related to this state. We're 7 or 8 months into the coronavirus, and how do you think Governor Inslee and his administration have handled kind of the reopening of the state from the coronavirus?
It's not soon enough, but not fast enough. A couple months ago, he made a dictate that we should all wear a mask wherever we go, and you know, I find it hard to breathe when I have that over my nose. You know, we have epidemics. I mean, that's been going out through the ages. And yes, people do die. That's unfortunate. I think it was a little bit too drastic to shut down the businesses and make children stay home and try to learn online. What about the families that don't have computers or they don't have internet access? How did their children learn? What about the parents who are not well enough educated to homeschool their kids? I think that it's been hard on the children, especially since the children are not so likely to die from the virus. They may come down with it, but they're pretty resilient. So I think it was kind of an overkill. I think they should have stayed in school. They should have had graduation ceremonies as normal, because people at that age were not at that vulnerable age like these people who are in these nursing homes. I mean, there are kids who can do online learning. I mean, they have excellent computer systems and it's. But I think they're sort of lacking socializing. I think kids need to be in the classroom where they, you know, interact with other children and then play sports, you know, like at least once a day, maybe have recess, and just enjoy a school life. So it just seems to me that keeping kids out of school and not being able to meet to graduate, that's really a very important event is graduation. Now, if they must wear masks in order to protect themselves or protect others, Okay, then let's do that. Maybe there could be some social distancing for those who have health problems. But I think the main thing that people need to do, not just children, everybody needs to work on their immunity system, not through vaccines, but by having a healthier lifestyle. And I have some ideas about free health care. Okay, they say that we have a basic right to health care. Now, I say, yes, you do, but you don't have a right to other people's money to pay for your health care. You have the right to life. That's a God-given right. And health care is part, taking care of your health is part of taking care of your life. It is free to get adequate exercise. It's free to get adequate sleep. And it's free to cut down or avoid any products with high fructose corn syrup, like soda pop, and other things, even some fruit drinks sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, even salad dressing. I avoid salad dressings. Anything sweetened with high fructose corn syrup and aspartame, that's also not good. So it is free to cut down on soda pop and on candy and other sweets. I'm not saying to eliminate those from your diet. If I were to say that, then I'd be a hypocrite. So, and then it doesn't cost that much to eat a nutritious food. In fact, food stamps, and I've talked to some people, including those who tend to be Democrats. What do you think about requiring the food stamps only be used for nutritious food, not for soda pop or candy or junk food? And most of them agree with me on that. One woman said, yeah, we'll include potato chips. But then somebody asked me, well, what about if a child has a birthday, you know, want to buy a birthday cake and ice cream? Okay, fine, maybe get a coupon or something to the food stamps or the EBT card system for each kid that is going to have a birthday. So you can buy some of that kind of stuff. So, I mean, they eliminated alcohol and tobacco products. It seems like eliminate the most sugar products as well, or high fructose corn syrup especially.
So do you believe in the things that the public health authorities have talked about in terms of masking and social distancing? Do you believe that those are good? Those are good ways of staying away from COVID?
Well, I guess it does work. So, but I've been in groups where there were a lot of people close together and people were not wearing a mask, and I haven't heard too many of us getting sick from that.
So the legislature has been asked to do more funding of public health, more consistent funding of public health. If you're elected to the legislature, is that something that you would support?
Well, it depends on where it's going to. If it's going for more prescribed medications, probably not. But I would like to include chiropractic care. I don't think that Medicaid includes chiropractic treatments. And really, if you do include chiropractic treatments and maybe other kinds of therapy, massage therapy, using an inverter, there are all kinds of things that you can use to sort of free up the spine. A lot of the health problems are found in the spine and nervous system. And when you have a physical exam, they don't even include examining the spine or nervous system. And that's something that's very important that should be included, but it's not. If it were included, you can find problems that you wouldn't know about, and you can solve problems that people are using medications or surgeries to solve instead. Whereas a good chiropractor could help solve problems and make it unnecessary to have surgeries or take all these prescribed medications, which cost. So I think you can really cut down the cost of health care if you do it more the natural way. And the chiropractors, they deal with problems more naturally. In fact, I was listening to a chiropractor who talks on the radio about three times a week, and he said back during the time of the Spanish flu, and this was when chiropractic was new, there were a lot of deaths that occurred then. Those who were undergoing chiropractic treatment were 1/40th as likely to die from the Spanish flu as those who were undergoing medical care. I wonder what the statistics are today with those who are with the corona.
Let me switch gears to the governor has a committee that's looking at police reform issues to make police more accountable and more transparent. Where do you think that police reform, where are the right places to talk with that? At the state level, at the local level? Where do you stand on police reform efforts?
Well, like I said, we need to support the local police, but I think there also should be some standards that's statewide, so there would be a little bit more consistency throughout the state. And I think one of the focuses should be, like, how can you deal with criminals without killing them? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard of using tasers, but some people don't respond to that. But if there's something that could be done, like some kind of ray gun or, I don't know, something that could, like, stun them but not kill them, that would be better.
So I know the committee is considering maybe restrictions on chokeholds, maybe banning the use of tear gas. Are those types of things that you could support?
I don't know about banning the use of tear gas. Of course, I've never been exposed to tear gas, so if using tear gas does not kill, but it helps restrain, then I mean, what would you use instead of tear gas to control a crowd?
I guess those are good questions for the police. So let me ask about we thought we were going to have an easy wildfire season until Labor Day, and then winds blew in and some very dry conditions. Our lands commissioner wants to put a little tax on different kinds of insurance premiums, for example, liability insurance premiums, and create a fund for wildfire prevention and suppression. Is that something that you might consider as a legislator?
Well, I'm definitely in favor of wildfire suppression, but I think they need to look at some of the causes. Of course, most of these fires, I think, were caused by arson. But there's so much like dry wood, dry brushes, and I think they need to be harvested. Listen to the candidates who are running lands commission. Mm-hmm. They have some really common sense ideas about combating wildfires. Let's see, who was running? I think Steve McLaughlin was running for 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. He had some excellent ideas. I think Clint Didier 4 years before that. I think he also ran for lands commissioner. And the lady that's running for that position now, that all Republicans, they all said that we need to harvest the wood and maybe create more of an industry, a lumber industry. It seems like the environmentalists are trying to prevent cutting down forests or cutting down trees because, you know, maybe some habitat of some endangered species. The thing is, if we don't deal with some of the wood, you know, harvest some of the wood, even to use for firewood, for building things, those things would fuel the fire all the more. And you know, I there used to be a watchtower. I don't know if they have those, a watchtower where somebody looks out to see any sparks or something, to see if there's something coming up and deal with it right away. Or what about having, when it comes to lightning, maybe have a lightning rod that's surrounded by bare land, so there's nothing around it that could cause fire, and sort of like direct the lightning to the lightning rod instead of to some tall tree.
So those were a few of the basic issues I've been asking the other candidates. Are there other issues that are important to you that I haven't asked you about that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I already did mention about health care and education. Oh, yeah, the economy. The Democrats, they seem to want to raise taxes on businesses, the private sector businesses. They want to regulate them more. The thing is, we need businesses, especially the private sector, to fund our economy. Now, I will give Marco Cicilli credit for voting against the carbon tax. He did it for a different reason why I would be against it. He said it would be, the carbon tax would be a regressive tax because it would have an adverse effect on the poor. I say we don't need to tax carbon because carbon dioxide, plants need the carbon dioxide. They need it to thrive and then produce oxygen. So I think we need more trees, not the carbon tax. And when it comes to businesses, the B&O tax, that's based on the gross revenue, as far as I know. So what about businesses? I think in Seattle, some of the city council members want to even charge a head tax for each employee. I mean, that's nuts. I mean, why would any business want to do business in a city where they have to, where they're penalized for each person that's on their payroll? I mean, no wonder if businesses are leaving Seattle.
So has your opponent suggested specific tax increases that you disagree with?
Well, yeah, he seemed to be in favor of the B&O tax increase.
Okay.
And yet he does say that he's pro business, but I'm definitely opposed to increasing the B&O. And in fact, if they must have a B&O tax, I think they should have a deduction for the cost of each employee. Now, some people would call that, oh, you mean a business income tax. Well, yeah, I guess that's better than what we have right now.
So, but before I let you go, I've been asking this one question. You're asking for people's votes, but when you have your ballot, what are the things that you look for in terms of candidates? What are the qualities you want to see in the people that you vote for?
Well, for one thing, they support our constitutional rights. And another thing, this is more personal. One time I looked at two candidates for judge. One of them was supported by a bunch of unions and the other wasn't. So I voted for the one who was not supported by the unions. I think people should have the right to choose whether or not to pay union dues. And I would support a candidate who is more for freedom of choice when it comes to how you use your tax dollars. We should not be forced to fund abortions or sex change operations or any organization that promotes that, like Planned Parenthood. Anybody who gets funding from Planned Parenthood will not get my vote. Anybody who gets funding from the SEIU will not get my vote. Most likely, I would say at least 95% of the time. So I don't really look at those who raise the most money. That doesn't, you know, to me that sort of tells me a candidate might be bought. So I'm looking for somebody who's sort of like an independent of thought, but yet is conservative by the modern definition of the word conservative. But somebody who follows who believes in the American principles, who wants to restore our Christian Judaic values, that's very important. We need that in our schools. We need that in the way we run our government. So that would be very important to me, those who have Christian Judaic values that made our nation a great nation.